Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor, CHI Memorial. Good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed, and good morning to all the listeners. Happy Sunday to everybody. So good to be back in the studio with you, Ed. Not from Starbucks for once, but I do miss the coffee. I'm glad to announce, by the way, you know, I've been talking for several shows about the fact we're getting some new offices for the Home Care Solutions and Heartlight Hospice that I work with through LHC Group, who is one of our sponsors. So Heartlight Hospice of Dalton and Home Care Solutions of Dalton, there's also a Ringgold branch, but the Dalton office has a new location, and anybody who lives down there wants to check it out, go down to East Emory Street. I can't remember the exact number. I'd have to look it up, but it's not that big a street, easy to find, just down the street from places like Oakwood Cafe, Cherokee Pizza, some of the other places that I like to go eat at that I don't know if we've talked about on the air or not on one of our food segments. Who knows? Once again, glad to be representing CHI Memorial as well, our title sponsor, and been working with them for, 20 plus years, been a doctor here for about 20, 25, and we are continuing the plans to build a hospital in North Georgia. I mean, there's a good reason that CHI Memorial has been voted number one by U.S. News and World Report, and this is just one of those examples. So, yes, about a 60-bed hospital right there at 4700 Battlefield Parkway. Should be breaking ground sometime in the summer of 2020. So that is exciting news for North Georgia, and will be serving everybody really from Northwest Georgia into Southeast Tennessee. People will come down there. It's going to be a brand new hospital, ORs, ER, everything that we need in that area to replace the old CHI Memorial, which is the old Hutchison, everybody remembers. So here comes a brand new hospital. Such a great time to be a primary care doctor here in Northwest Georgia. Everybody remember, it is flu season, and I was seeing the maps over the last couple of weeks, and the Southeast is inundated. So unless you're in the dead center of the country, out in the plains, you're going to be in danger of influenza. It is going around. It is bad. If you haven't received your influenza vaccination, make sure that you do. If you're over 65 or 65 or over, I should say, you get the high dose, and under that, the regular, such as what I received. But we are just really at epidemic levels here in the Southeast. Georgia is one of the worst. And there are some really good treatments now, like Xofluza, which is a one-dose treatment. I've had a great time. I think I told you about that a few shows ago, Ed. And it's a one-dose treatment for influenza, as long as you get in early. So if you think you have flu, get to your provider within 24 to 48 hours, get diagnosed and treated. And it works quite well. Probably not quite as well as the commercial I saw on TV, but still works pretty well. So, Ed, what's up with you?
Thank you, my friend. And yes, you know, I know you are inundated with the questions and people, patients with flu, you know, those who certainly seek, you know, the other kind of approach, which certainly we're here to blend both approaches. But the same with Nutrition World. I've had actually one of my employees who, you know her, Nellie, extremely robustly healthy person. And Lordy, did it take her down, as you know.
It's bad.
And, you know, I think she said she's never in, I'm not going to say her age, but she's close to mine, has never felt that bad. She truly thought she wasn't going to see another day. And she did have the B version. Mm. Is that the primary one? I think it is.
I've seen both. I've seen more A.
Oh, have you? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, she did all the natural remedies. And, you know, she was back in 1 week, which is pretty darn good. I think considering I did a TV show yesterday, 3+U on Channel 3 with Julie, and the whole show was on, you know, what are some things to think about for building your system up so when this does happen, you have more of a robust ability to rebound and get back in the game again, because the first few days there's nothing you can do, as we all know, But a new study came out on elderberry, the right elderberry, and actually showed it reduces the time of the flu by about 2.5 days. Again, all of these natural remedies, including the one, the prescription, needs to have a window of opportunity the first 2 days. Isn't
Absolutely.
That right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're exposed a few days before you actually start having symptoms, so you may just have fatigue. It's very hard to know that you're coming down with anything. It's really when you start having the fever and the actual illness, you need to get in immediately. So some people like me, I can't speak for all the providers, but you know, there's just not enough time in the day sometimes to see everyone, even in a 9-provider group. So we're doing a lot of flu swabs on people that are just, you know, running by, please, 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 can you swab me? And if they are, if they have that, you know, we can go ahead and treat. That doesn't happen a lot, but I think a lot of the providers that I know are doing that. So yeah, get in there to your provider, get tested as soon as possible. You know, I think there are, you know, a lot of the quick cares around will do that as well. Even, you know, I'm not a big fan of CVS and how they have the little offices. They're really cookie cutter type places. But Memorial has acute care places all over town as well. There's our office for all of our patients, and we're open late. Well, actually every weekday, and just get in as fast as you can. I agree about the elderberry, and I'm trying to get back into my running. We've talked about, you know, exercise, and of course I'm taking vitamin C, vitamin D. Yeah, so there are a lot of things you can do, but just keeping in good general health before you're sick is one of the best things. Oh, let me say this too. A lot of the people that I'm seeing got sick with something else, let's say strep or bronchitis, and then they're starting to get better. They're about, you know, a week into it, and boom, 101, 102 fever. And a lot of people are just thinking, oh, I'm just having a relapse of the bronchitis. No, you just got exposed to flu. So we're seeing that pattern repeat itself.
So perhaps their system was weakened by the first infection, and then that made them more susceptible.
Bingo.
And you know, I'm a huge fan of having a toolbox already in your home so that when you start feeling bad, and my toolbox consists of actually two or three things, one of which is olive leaf. It's one of the most amazing herbs I've ever utilized in a personal sense and recommendation-wise. I do fairly high dosing of it, about 6 pills a day if I feel anything coming on, and then elderberry. And then vitamin D. Those are my three things that I always have handy for utilizing if I felt bad. Like maybe 5 days ago, I was, you know, just one of those feelings that you feel like something's festering kind of, and you're not your best, and, you know, mentally and physically, you're kind of dragging, but you're not sick. Well, I jump on stuff at that moment, and I hate to curse myself with this statement, but yesterday when I was on Channel 3, 3 Plus U with Julie, with my daughter, Katie Coleman, we were talking about, you know, staying well, how to get well, and I probably cursed myself because I turned to her on TV and I said, Katie, you're 28 years old. How many times have you seen your dad sick in 28 years? She said, I've seen you sick one time in 28 years. And it's true. I've only been sick once. Now, have I had things coming on? Probably 100 times. I have knocked every single one of those 100 out by aggressively jumping into my toolbox. And it does take aggressive use, because if you do it's silly, but it's not silly. But if you follow the recommendation on the label, it won't work, because those are for maintenance. There's a maintenance dose and a therapeutic dose. They can't legally really put a therapeutic dose on a bottle. So you have to be fully informed to know how to do this. And, you know, so whatever path you choose, and it can be both paths.
Well, then you need to remind me of that, because I'm very good with the preventative maintenance, but I really like to deny illness for myself and not admit it when I'm getting sick. And it's about, 4 or 5 days into it when I'm miserable that I go, wow, I should have done something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I feel the tingle, I jump on my 6 pills of olive leaf, 2 with every meal. If I do nothing else, it can be miraculous. I have people taking it who don't even believe in taking anything, and they'll keep that olive leaf.
I did pull out the Manuka honey, by the way.
And Manuka's mine, the third one. I've been doing that for prevention. The one from New Zealand, we interviewed Mike Everly from there a few months ago.
And bees and trees.
You got what a hell of a memory you got, brother. I don't have that. That's why you keep me straight on this show. But yes, Manuka honey, only honey there is that has this compound that can, you know, deactivate some of these pathogens. And the good thing is they're not like an antibiotic, because they don't actually tear the microbiome up at all. So that was, that's my little toolkit. And if 3 Plus U is going to have it on, you know, real soon. I did want to say that on CNN, I was looking this morning. A pretty good study came out on antibiotics in infancy tied to allergies in childhood. New research shows, and it was pretty, you know, very well done, seemingly. It was in the JAMA of Pediatrics, came out on Friday. And it's not surprising, and it does come down to the fact that it is, you know, disrupting the good bacteria. And I tell people this all the time. You know, we think about, oh, we're going to kill the good bacteria, so let's just eat some yogurt. I'm sorry to say that's not going to work very well, because it takes a lot to rebuild the microflora. It takes aggressive uses of fermented foods, aggressive use of the right probiotics, and, you know, and actually, to me, staying away from foods that have a lot of antibiotics, like the cheaper meats and sometimes even tap water. But you got to really be aggressive to rebuild it, people, if you've been on antibiotics. And I actually have a national podcast called The Holistic Navigator. And on there, I say I have a chapter on how to rebuild your microflora after antibiotics. So if you go to The Holistic Navigator, you can learn more about that. You know, they say antibiotics save lives, and they also, you know, have some other sides that we need to consider. And I know you consider that too, Doc.
Yeah, and we've even talked about the fact that the judicious use of antibiotics over, say, the last 10 to 12 years while we've been policing ourselves has actually helped some previously suppressed infections come back, like Lemire syndrome. So it's you can't really win for losing. It's okay. if you're very, very careful, then old infections come back. If you use too much, then you have antibiotic resistance. There's got to be a happy medium, though. And we're just treating with our, you know, in addition to our minds, with our hearts, and in primary care, we can do that. And so you have to learn to be able to think on your feet and use your Mark I eyeball sometimes. But I think we're getting more comfortable with that in primary care. And it just, that's where the art comes in, and not the science.
Well, I think that was very eloquent, you saying that you treat with your heart along with your mind. And, you know, you do, Dr. Green, but we have to both admit that the corporate world isn't embracing that philosophy as well as we would like. But that is the corporate way. It happens on medicine. It happens on almost every level when the corporations take over, because there isn't much emotion and heart. It's all about the bottom line. But people like you make the corporate world work, because you still have that ethics and you have that commitment. And Chattanooga is very blessed to have that. Is the voting still going on for best of the best?
You know, I think it just stopped. It was through about the 23rd.
Okay.
So we'll have to see in a couple of months how that comes out. And I was reminded, by the way, while you were saying that, about that miracle on 34th Street where that woman's going, make a buck. You know, but they treated her right, put her first. And she said, I'll be a Macy's customer for life, because Macy's sent her to Gimbel's. And I always remember that. That impressed me as a kid when I saw that movie. I thought, why wouldn't somebody do the right thing? Then you become old and jaded, and you know, the corporate world comes in, and it makes sense that Macy's would try to keep them in the building. But you know what? We've got to put that person first. You know, that's why we talk about the patient-centered medical home.
Yeah.
And so you put the customer first, the person ahead of you know, profit, and we do too.
Well, and I hope people, I know they do appreciate that. In fact, at Nutrition World, it isn't every few days at least I say this to a person. They'll come in and ask me a question, and I might give some advice or education. And they say, so what do I need to walk away with today? And this happened yesterday with a gentleman. I said nothing. I said, I don't want you to do anything. You need to pursue some more testing, or, you know, let's get some more information before you make a decision. I'd rather keep you at a baseline right now, and you go see this person that I'm recommending and let them work with you, because it's not about what can I ring up today for that customer. And so many people turn to me and say, you mean to tell me that you're not selling me something? I said, no, I want you to be healthier, and we have to figure this thing out, and you just buying a product's not going to do it. Guess what? It's already time to take a break, my friend. When we come back, we are going to be discussing some about integrative medicine. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet, and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, along with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we have a great guest today, Dr. Jeffrey Jump. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Dr. Jump.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, I met you probably when you first came into Chattanooga. How long ago was that? 20 years?
23 years ago.
23,
yes.
Where did you move from?
I moved here from North Florida, from Amelia Island.
Okay.
But I was practicing in South Georgia at the time and moved here to finish residency with Memorial Hospital, matter of fact.
Okay. Well, you've had a great 23 years in Chattanooga. You know, at Nutrition World, I kind of the sounding board. I listen and people talk to me about everything, and many of those are looking for healthcare professionals like yourself. And you actually started this approach the very first time I met you 23 years ago, which is what we, I think, have termed more of an integrative approach to health. Can you kind of explain to the listeners what that actually means?
Sure. I'll try. That's been right. The challenge over there. And Ed, you've been around for a long time, too. This definition has changed over the years. But I kind of like the integrative title. I think it mm-hmm. probably most appropriately explains what we try to do. And I guess I have a couple of approaches to trying to explain it. The first is the kind of you got 15-second elevator approach, and that really I heard Andrew Weil say this a long time ago. He said, integrative medicine is the intelligent combination of conventional medicine with alternative methods.
I think that's, I like that.
That's kind of my favorite 15-second approach.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, I think that's wholly inadequate at trying to explain what we try to do, because in my mind, I think we get caught up in the fact that we do offer unconventional approaches to medicine. But I think really at its heart, integrative medicine is more a style of practice and a philosophy that I think really almost everybody within primary care or even within all forms of medicine can do. And to me, it's more about what is the focus of practice. And what we try to emphasize is that we're focused on people and patients. I think, and again, this is my philosophy, so this isn't something you're going to read on the internet somewhere, but my philosophy is that we first treat people. In conventional medicine, as physicians and DOs, we're really trained to treat disease,
mm-hmm.
And for good reason. And this is not a knock on conventional medicine. I think sometimes we take it as a knock, but we're trained to treat disease for a very good reason, because we're trying to prolong people's lives. So when we go through training and learning how to discern certain symptoms and certain signs that people present with to discern disease, and then we treat disease. So, you know, much of what we do is centered around trying to figure out what's going on with somebody so that we have a diagnosis and then we know what to do with the diagnosis. But that model, I think, is devoid then, and it's not devoid, but it is not focused on the person with the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And we get lost sometimes in just looking for disease. And it's my opinion that that is what drove a lot of patients and still drives a lot of patients to look for alternative methods. They mm-hmm. don't feel heard or understood often. And because of the way we approach things, I think conventional medicine can sometimes feel cold, maybe a bad word or a harsh word, but sometimes can mm-hmm. feel sterile and kind of cold. And we often then are obviously doing things to patients, and as a patient, then you often lose that kind of focus of control on your own health that most people really want to feel. So I think as a primary care physician, my focus has always been trying to be a partner
in health. I like
that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the essential tenets of integrative medicine, is that health is a partnership. And as primary care physicians, and I think this is true for all primary care physicians, you know, our focus and role is to establish relationships with people, and build trust and build relationship. And then when hard decisions have to be made, and when you have to, as we're all going to have to face at some point in our lives, we're all going to get sick, we're all going to die,
mm-hmm.
That you've got that partner with you, somebody that you trust and you can talk to.
Well, that makes a very good sense. And let me ask you, I mean, one thing that I would assume that, of course, you do, because I know of you very well for so long, is you not only do what conventional medicine does, which is treat the disease, but you also look further into why did the body actually become weakened, and you look kind of a more of a nutritional approach also that you combine. Is that kind of also?
Well, sure. I mean, I think the other one of the fundamental tenets of integrative medicine is that we don't necessarily want to just treat symptoms. We want to look a little bit deeper, and we want to do things in the most natural is a hard word for me too. I think it can be misconstrued, but in the least invasive manner that we have to. I think particularly in the area of chronic disease, where truth be told, conventional medicine sometimes lacks the ability. We don't cure things in chronic disease. You know, mm-hmm.
We manage.
And sometimes, and oftentimes, conventional medicine is very necessary. But most of chronic disease, we can look back at particularly lifestyle issues and diet and exercise mm-hmm. and stress and other things. And we can manage those things from that perspective much more effectively, usually without side effects and medications mm-hmm. and things. And so that is a central tenet of integrated medicine, is we want to focus on the wellness portion, not just the disease, and how did we get to where we are with the medical problems that you're facing.
And I see that you believe, as I do, is a team approach, like you have mm-hmm. other practitioners who have other modalities that you obviously refer to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that, way back in my career, how I got interested in integrative medicine was an early realization that as a conventional doctor, I didn't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And like most doctors, I think we tend to be perfectionists, and we want to fix things. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it can be completely frustrating when people come to you with things you can't just fix. And the realization then that my toolbox was way too limited to really, you know, help people where they needed to be helped. And then, so that, to me, that made most sense to try to organize under one roof, for people, other healing modalities, although I don't think it's necessary. Obviously, our community is rich with people that are very good in other forms of medicine. But it just made sense to try to partner with people under that roof too. So we have, and you know, within our practice, we have clinical counselors, we have an acupuncturist, we have mm-hmm. massage therapist, or Tim Russell, who's more than just a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think Tim's an amazing, amazing practitioner, but you know, his official title is massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
A registered dietitian, nurse health coaches, who am I missing? Probably missing somewhere in there. And our primary care docs. So it is a team approach. And I think even within conventional medicine, we're pushing towards a more team-based approach. We may not be pushing into some of the other areas of medicine like acupuncture as strongly within individual practices. But for instance, within the Memorial Group now, you know, we have at least 22, 24 primary care practices. And it's common knowledge we try to spread within the group that we do have acupuncture available within the group, so that, you know, one of the hard parts I think about in conventional medicine and primary care is, do you trust the person that you're referring to? And it's hard to know, mm-hmm. you know, who might be a good acupuncturist, who not. And so we've kind of vetted that for practitioners
that.
Within our practice. And we, so, you know, that I think is a, anyway, obviously that's part of integrated medicine, is integrating other healing modalities.
Sounds a lot like what we preach here week to week, doesn't it, Ed?
It does, and it rings very true. And I think, you know, I will say it's the future of healthcare, but I'm not always certain that that will be true, because of the insurance and kind of the structure that's set up isn't really conducive to this. But you've made it work. So tell people about the insurance thing. Is this, like, part of this is going to be cash pay or what?
Some, but not much of what we do within our practice is cash pay. Interesting, it has primarily been Chinese medicine acupuncture has been cash pay. In the last year, however, with the bigger insurers are now paying, you know, Blue Cross, Cigna, Aetna is exploring paying for insurance. It's one of the only silver linings out of this opioid crisis is that the insurance companies are finally saying, wow, can we do something else to help treat pain? Now, and that's a pet peeve of mine about acupuncture. It is good for treating pain, but it is good for a lot of other things.
Right.
But it's a window it's a foot in the door into the insurance industry. You know, it's a real challenge. The business of medicine is a whole nother, we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Because much of good medicine in partnering with people is listening, and obviously that takes a lot of time. But we try to manage within this system, and I didn't want this model that we have is insurance based because I wanted people to be able to have access.
Good.
And really that's where, you know, 99% of all our patients live is within this world. So I wanted them to be able to have access with their insurance.
I love that. Well, tell people how they can learn more or contact you about becoming a potential patient.
Sure. We're within the Memorial system. It's the CHI Integrative Medicine Associates, 643-2246 is our phone number, 423-643-2246.
Where is your office?
We're right downtown on Main Street, right across from the fire hall and near Needloves, right in the heart of Main Street, which we've loved.
You've been there a long time, haven't you?
We've been there over 6 years now, six and a half. We've kind of helped I like to think we helped anchor Main Street and help it build, but it's been exciting to be there.
Well, I want to say appreciation to you, because you've always been a supporter of Nutrition World. I know when you feel it's appropriate, you will recommend us, and that means a lot to me.
You've been a great resource over the years for people.
And I look forward to perhaps joining more forces as the time goes on. And you're right. We've had Tim Russell here on the show, and I know he's been with you for many years, because he was with me for many years before that. And he is a special, special individual. I definitely want to put a plug in for him. He does cranial therapy, but he does so much other stuff. You can't even put a word on.
So much stuff. It's hard to describe what Tim does. He's an amazing therapy.
I was loving the part about, I mean, it is part and parcel for primary care, but really, truly loving and caring for your people and listening to them and putting them first. I mean, that's, you know, I was thinking how much of a day is like a family reunion in our practices.
There
and
you
just look forward to seeing these people. And half the time you're learning about their family, shooting the breeze and catching up like a reunion. It's a fun job to have.
Well, it is. And I actually even toyed with changing the name of the practice, because I think we've gotten beyond integrative. Doesn't have to be different. Primary care should be integrative.
I like that.
Because it's just about caring for your people.
Caring for your people. And this, you two are cut out of the same mold with that. And I am just thrilled to talk to you again, Dr. John. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And it is time to take another break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more about nutrition and health. So we've got that, plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with me.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and that was a very interesting conversation with Dr. Jump on integrative medicine. And
I liked what he was saying. You know, we were talking earlier about that miracle on 34th Street, all of this, and I think it is the right thing. We put our patients first and listen to them. And sometimes, you know, we try, and I think as men, we're not as good listeners sometimes. I think God made women to be, a lot of women, and this is not sexist, it's a compliment, to be better listeners than we are, and we can learn something on how to listen and be more empathic. And I think men are just typically bad at that. We just are. So, I think he seems like he tries to listen and tailor it to the person. And I still remember that happening yesterday. I was recommending something, or day before yesterday, recommending something to someone. I could just see in their eyes. I'm like, you don't really want to do this yet, do you? They said, no. And I said, okay. And we went totally natural, talked about exercise and diet, which I had done anyway, but I went back through that. I said, you're really going to have to work on this, though, or it's not going to be any better. I said, you have to. And just really emphasize that point. But it's what they wanted to do. They didn't want to go on a medication for the condition. And if I hadn't seen that look in their eye, then I wouldn't have known. The good thing is, in this, like Dr. Jump said, he's been here 23 years, so we're about the same there. Some of these people, we're on our third generation of patients, which is kind of sad. It means we're a lot older. But it's also great that you've known somebody long enough to read their expressions, their body language, their eyes, and also they're comfortable enough to tell you anything. And, it's a great honor and privilege to be a primary care doc, anywhere, especially in this area. We're surrounded by so many good people, and it really is like a family by this point. I mean, you look forward to a lot of the people coming in because you know them that well. It's a reunion every day. I could tell Dr. Jump feels that, and so do I. And I don't ever want to lose that love for the people, because that's what keeps us going.
Well, and, I know all of us were part of groups. We're kind of part of tribes. Your tribe is your medical community. One of your tribes is. And, we always try to build that whole tribe up because we are part of it and it's part of a family. But, I know that I can be more harsh with my words than you should be about that. But you are the exception to the rule, and corporate world is moving away from this in some regards. Now, the individual person can change that. You are the gladiator that is on the front line. You are the person who can make these decisions. I just see a lot of coldness, as Dr. Jump said, a lot of coldness from some, not just a few, but a lot of healthcare practitioners. It becomes a monotonous job, I think, at times. And I think the corporate world has taken some of the passion from people who entered your field with such a heart to help other people. And I don't know, you tell me this. I read the other day that for every 1 hour you see a patient, it takes 2 hours for the electronic record keeping. Is that an accurate thing?
So, no.
Okay.
For me, I just woke up one night with just this revelation of how to work in the AHR, the electronic record. So I see about as many people now per day and about the same speed or faster than I did on paper. But I've had to just totally change the paradigm of how I do my visit. So I just altered to fit it because I have no choice. I mean, we had to go to electronic records. Mm-hmm. So you have two choices, quit, fight it, or adapt. And, just one day I figured out how to adapt and I pretty much doubled my speed. The problem with electronic records, the way we have them, there are still a couple of hours after you're done with things that are unique to electronic records. But I would have done at least, 15 to 20 minutes of worth of that in the chart anyway. So yes, it adds work, but not in the visit itself to me. If anything, I've learned how to adapt to that. I think most of us have. And the younger the doctor, the easier it is to adapt.
Ah, good point. But I know it's still burdensome and kind of heavy, but obviously you're making the system work to the best of your ability.
We do, and there are pluses as well. So now, we can access records mobily, and that's nice. I remember the day where I would get a call and someone would say, hey, what dose of lisinopril am I on? And it's 2 a.m. Well, I don't know. I'm not at the office. Uh-huh. A lot of people think that doctors are taking call from the office or the hospital. Well, maybe if they're a surgeon or an OB, maybe. But most of us are not in the office at the time. And now we can actually look it up and go, oh, you're on 20 mg. So there are a lot of pluses with that, the access of records. If they're here and say, you know, Dr. Ed Jones just saw me and did some labs. Do you have my results? Mm-hmm. Why, yes, I can go get them.
Yeah, so
beautiful. There's some pluses as well. And I try to remind myself of the advantages of electronic records. And the real downside is the IT issues that you have with that. And when they go down, You are helpless at that point. So if there is a big issue with anything, a server or whatnot, yeah, that becomes burdensome. Mm-hmm. And most patients understand.
Gotcha. Well, you know, last week I was actually bringing this article up and we didn't get to talk about it, but it was on CNN Health. And the title is What This Sunny Religious Town in California Teaches Us About Living Longer. And it's a physician that is, he just passed away at 104 years old. And I love Dr. Gupta and his articles because he puts a great, great spin on health. And this is in one of the blue zones. The blue zones is areas of the world where people seem to live much longer with much more robust health. Well, this physician, he said he could still operate at 100 years old. His hands did not shake. They're steady. He said he could do a bypass, I think he said, at 97, and he was working still regularly, blood pressure 117. But he, of course, the whole thing was going back to the diet and stress management. He said he is a vegetarian, and I want to say one thing about that, and I'm all about the choices of food are what really determine our health, and to a bigger part than almost anything else, not everything. I think we have to manage stress, sleep, exercise, and also I do believe totally in supplementation to help. But there is a trend right now that is almost like politics and religion. It has to do with food, and it has some of the vegan comments and some of the passion that's coming from the vegan community is a little disturbing to me. There's actually many documentaries on, you know, telling us that if we eat any meat, we're going to, you know, fall apart. We're going to have diseases. We're going to have everything from erectile dysfunction to heart disease because we're consuming some meats. And I just don't buy into that. I do buy into the fact we need clean meats, which are grass-fed, antibiotic-free, and we don't need to be eating too much. But there's a new movie out called Game Changer. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've heard that.
It is sweeping the nation. I'm telling you, I've had people who I never would have thought would decide to eat differently, and they are doing so much better because they make such a case in this movie about the connection between food choices and your health. The problem is the underlying message of this is that if you eat meat, you're going to die early and be a much unhealthier person. And I don't buy into that. But Game Changer has the ability to go through people's head to a deep level and tell them you are going to destroy your health if you don't eat healthy food. So this doctor that I was on CNN, yes, he's vegetarian, and you can be a vegetarian very healthy if you know what you're doing. But the thing is, I think the bigger part of like this physician is because he ate so many other healthy foods. He didn't live off pasta. There's so many unhealthy vegans out there because they believe in the Worthington products, which are nothing but chemicals that make up vegetarian products. They believe in, all the pasta, all the rice, all the bread, all the things that as long as they don't have meat, they're healthy. That is a crock. It is a crock of just nonsense because those other foods are very unhealthy. Now, this doctor is different. In Loma Linda and in these blue zones, they're eating the colored vegetables. They're eating a huge variety. They don't eat the 12 single foods every single week that people eat.
And there are some things on the blue zone diet. We talked about that several shows ago that people wouldn't expect, like wine. You know, people might not expect that in the nuts and whatnot. So, you know, people can Google blue zone diet and look at that. You know, something you were saying, I have seen... And it can go for exercise or diet, but some people with a religious fervor for their diet, I mean, it is all-consuming to them, and actually their diet controls them. And
Bingo.
To me, that's a bit disturbing. We talk about the 80-20 rule. There are very few absolutes in life. You rarely see straight lines and square corners in nature. You know, it's just one of those things. And
I
so
like
if you
that.
Do, then it's not natural. And that level of dedication is just, or let's say fervor, almost unnatural. And, you know, God didn't put all these things on earth to not have someone consume them. I think it is more of a balance of that. You know, vegetarianism is great. There's nothing wrong with that lifestyle. But there are a lot of people that may choose to, like I was reading some of that article, they said not 100% of the people there are pure vegetarians. They'll have some meat. But their meat consumption is done judiciously and in a healthy way. So I think there is a middle ground. There is a balance there that people have to learn, and that religious fervor for a diet can backfire on you. But the same thing, I've done that with exercise before and almost had a religious fervor for exercise and almost hurt my body because I was almost perfect on diet and exercise, and it was self-defeating eventually.
Yeah, it was actually destructive instead of constructive. Well, wonderful conversation on that. I'm glad I got that point in and great comment from you. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be enjoying Dr. Green's spiritual moment. So that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, back with my partner, Dr. Green. We always look forward to Dr. Green's spiritual moment in this segment.
Thank you, Ed. The spiritual moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. So if you would like to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, which is silverdalebc.com, silverdalebc.com, or just download their free app for Android or iPhone. Let's see. Let's start with a few verses. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Fear, anxiety, worry. Well, which of us does not want to be free of those feelings? Well, Proverbs says to guard your heart, and that's not the heart we're talking about in medicine, not that pump, but it's that seat of emotions in you, which also includes joy as well as sorrow. Well, we often act out in life the result of these struggles on the inside, those worries, fears, anxieties with which we struggle internally. We function best in life when our hearts are at peace. We need to guard our hearts from the chaos of this crazy world. We face that mad rush of life, storms, obstacles we didn't anticipate. It can truly be overwhelming. But we cannot let our outward circumstances dictate how we ultimately feel inside. Jesus tells us that he has a peace to offer that is freely available to us. Well, I will choose to meditate on that peace that he gives over the chaos and anxiety of my circumstances in life any day. So guard your hearts from the fear and the anxiety and worry of this life and think instead on the peace only God offers to you. Your attitude can be influenced by your choice of peace instead of being dictated by your circumstances. Your actions will flow from that choice. Let me close with a quote from Thomas Watson, who was a 17th century pastor. If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. And this has been your spiritual moment for the day. Ed?
Thank you, my friend. And I love the fact that, you know, sometimes we do fall into places where we don't feel that that we're like just floating down water, but we have choices. And yes, I can choose a lot of things, including the foods I eat, but I also can choose some of my reactions and my emotions and work through those instead of just absorbing them like some some air that's just floating by us. So thank you for that. I do want to say a couple things, put a plug in for my daughter, Katie. She is on fire as far as this passion for the impact of things that we put on our bodies. And in fact, every single morning, I think the average person uses 11 different substances, from shaving cream to perfume to makeup for women, down the list. And many of those are toxic. In fact, about 80% of the things in our skincare lines in this country are not approved in other countries. Only about 20% of the chemicals are allowed over there, because they're so much more aware of the toxicity. So those who want to learn, especially young mothers, because it has also influence on the younger people, she has a Facebook group called Earth Conscious Mama. Earth Conscious Mama. If you go on there, search it. You do have to get an approval to be on. It's a private group, but she's writing some of the best articles I've ever read. I'm so proud of her for how she's doing it. And then secondly, I want to talk about there was the 2019's biggest health trends. And one of these was actually shocking to me. One, the first one isn't the vegan diet. That one is gaining popularity again, like I spoke about. I really love the philosophy. It's just, again, if we create a polarizing view of it and we do it in a radical kind of manner, I think it's unhealthy. Secondly, and a lot of this is coming because of the new plant-based burgers that are being now embraced by everything from Walt Disney to many of the fast food places like Dunkin' Donuts, Red Robin, Burger King.
Is that Impossible Burger?
Impossible Burger. It is, again, it's not, they're positioning it like a perfect food, and it's far from that. It's full of glyphosate, which is the Roundup material that I've spoke of many times. It doesn't have any organic base to it. It has many things that's not a good option. However, on the other side, the freaking junky meat that they're selling at these places, like the burger places, they're awful. So it is a better choice, but it's not perfect. Second trend, CBD oil. Nutrition World is still the leader in CBD oil expertise in this city. I will guarantee you, no one can hold a candle to us. I have employees who spend so much time over the past 2 years studying this till we know how to advise people. Do not trust most of the brands. We found them to be somewhat untrustworthy. Number three, didn't know this trend was coming, oat milk.
Oat
milk is now rising.
Not goat milk.
Nope. Left the G off. Oat milk is just going to be the new kind of trend for instead of almond milk.
Have you tried oat milk?
Only years ago, and can't say that I remember much about it.
I like almond milk.
Yeah, and then intermittent fasting, which I'm a huge fan of, which is you pick up at least about 13 hours a day where you do not consume any calories. It does so many wonderful, healthy things. I started embracing it 2 or 3 years ago against my wishes, but one of my employees was convincing me my hormones would go up, and they did. There's no doubt my digestion got better, my sleep got better, so I'm doing that. But the last one is called the pagan diet, and what it is a combination between a vegan and a paleo. And a functional medicine doc who I totally respect, but Dr. Mark Hyman, he coined the term in 2014. And what it is focusing on foods available in the paleolithic area, such as meat, fish, vegetables, and nuts. And 75% of the diet is vegetables and fruits. You can still eat meat, but it's more of a side dish than a main course. Actually, almost like the doctor that we just read about, who lived to be 104 years old. So it's called the pagan diet. I'm going to have to remember that, because I know I'll have clients and customers who will ask me about that. And Nutrition World is online now for any shopping at nutritionw.com. Go to the shopping button. And
Pagan diet.
Pagan. So
I just did that the other day, and it was down at Oakwood. So got all the vegetable plates, lots of veggies, a little side of turkey. That's kind of odd, but that's what I was in the mood for.
There you go. Yeah. Because I don't know of another term that actually focuses on, and that's the way I eat, basically, except I do it leaning toward keto. All this gets so freaking complex when you start breaking it down into names, but I think I am a pagan slash keto man. That's what I am. I'll need to come up with a term for that one. Maybe I can combine all those words into something.
I'm reducing my carbs again and moving back toward the keto-ish lifestyle so far, and I feel so much better when I do. But frankly, if you're eating all the rich foods over the holidays. Oh my goodness. Oh. I mean, it really does not make you feel better. No. It just doesn't.
It doesn't. Now, the thing is, when you eat those foods every day, you don't feel the negative effects because you've got to a certain baseline and it's not changing. It's when you do well and then you go off the bandwagon and then you feel the negative effects. But believe it or not, my brother, it is already another show under the belt, and loved it. Loved us both being here back together. And that does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living, and the website by Avalon Studios. Dr. Green, from CHI Memorial, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. Have a healthy and safe and fiercely happy day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.